with others. So, no matter what your why, no matter what bits and pieces you're made of, no matter where you're at in the process of fitting all of those pieces together, I want you all to know that you are a beloved, valued child of God, and you are so, so welcome here.
Good morning and welcome to campus worship. If you would, please stand and sing with us if you're able. This morning, what I want us to do, whenever we come into this space, I realize that we're coming from classes, or maybe we just rolled out of bed with our alarm, or maybe we've been up for a lot of hours. But what I want to start out with this morning is the song, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying. And we're going to sing through it quite a few times, but let this be a time of prayer for you in song as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning with song and hearing.
Send us love, send us power. would take your blue hymnals and turn to number 546. And the words are also on the screen. We will sing all the verses and feel free to join on the leader part.
God, I beat while I run this race.
What is your why? I was kind of really confused when I heard it first. I was like, okay, how do I break this down? And then as I thought about it more, I was like, okay, this means what is your purpose? And so over the summer, without me knowing it, I was wrestling with this question, what is your why? And the verse that really stuck out to me was Psalm 115:1. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name we give glory, for the sake of your love and faithfulness. And the words that I really liked from that verse were glory and sake. Glory meaning magnify and presenting and reflecting. And then sake meaning purpose. And so what I really came to from this verse is that our purpose in life is to glorify God in all that we do. And so this also goes along with Colossians 3:17, which says, in all that we do, give glory to God. And so these two verses really, really guided my summer and are guiding my time here at EMU so far. And they've just really stuck with me and everything that I do. Not just, you know, my time on Sunday at church. Not just my time in a ministry as a PA. But in everything I do. When I wake up each morning, I give glory to God that I'm alive, that I'm doing well. When I eat, I give glory to God for the food that has been bestowed before me. I give glory to God in my classes for the knowledge that I'm able to learn. And when I'm hanging out with friends and socializing, I'm giving glory because God has provided me with such a great community around me. So give glory in all that you do for God's sake, not ours.
So I'm honored to stand here and explain what my why is. And as Luke was saying, I was searching and trying to figure out this question before I knew it was on theme. And as I was reflecting and praying and just spending time in the Word, I came across Isaiah 43:1, and it's the second portion that really stuck out to me. It says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. And when I heard that, it made me realize that I have an opportunity to show God's love, that I do not need to be this perfect Christian. I don't need to compare myself to everybody else, but God has made me who I am for my purpose, that this purpose is only for me, and that I should just enjoy what I am doing. And so as I reflect over the year, I'm asking God, like, what is the word that you are calling me to live into? And it's transform. And so he puts Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by a renewing of your mind, and just realizing that all I have to do is show God's love. That by showing God's love, I have an opportunity to show people the gospel. And that people who are on the border of just spiritual or that has church hurt will understand that God's love and my love is the most important thing, and not the religious rules. And we can worry about that later, but let's first have a relationship. And so I desire as a PA and just as a student and a lover of Christ to just show you Christ's love and my love for all of you. So thank you for this opportunity, and that's my why.
So you've heard from three of our pastoral assistants today. First, Annalie Martin, and Annalie rushed off to also be at one of the combo breakout groups, one of the new dynamics of figuring out where to be Wednesday morning every other week. Luke Hertzler transferred from Heston College and is a junior pastoral assistant, first one you heard from, and Tadu's continuing here in ministry at EMU as a student. I'm Brian Martin Burkholder, campus pastor and host, if you will, of the campus worship service, and I'm delighted that you're here for this first one, this remake of what we understood as chapel last year, and maybe for the last 100 years, sort of. Campus worship is what we're calling this now, and it will always be clearly a worship service with a longer worship music set at the beginning, scriptural prayerful themes, and preaching many times with area pastors and sometimes with visitors like today that Jolie Payden is here, and we're so pleased. Jolie currently serves as campus representative for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or known as FCA, at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. She's the author of Spiritual Runner, and I think the book, or at least a couple of them, are here and some stickers out in the lobby. Spiritual Runner, it's a devotional book for runners with scripture prayers and encouragements, and Jolie says, her quote, to make you into the runner God created you to be. And I'm not a runner, but I think there's still something in there for me. To make you into the person, the person, what's your why? To help you live into your why. As an EMU student, Jolie ran cross country and track, served as a pastoral assistant with Campus Ministries, and was on the leadership team of the FCA chapter here at EMU, increasing visibility and the reach of FCA during those years by launching programs that are still in existence, like Athletes Speak, for example. Let's welcome Jolie back to EMU.
Solidified why, but why did I start doing what I do or what I did? And so it all started in the world of like musical theater. Let's see. Okay, this is me as like a 8-year-old or something on the right with the pink hair. Okay, so super into musical theater, and really it started because at the age of 6 I tried out for a play or a musical, Annie. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. And I think that I was like unfortunate enough looking that they gave me a part and thought it was good acting. And so I got a really big part, and then from then on, I did that for 9 summers in a row. I would do this musical theater, and I thought that I was good at it, so I kept doing it. And I started to realize that, actually, I don't know if I'm that good at this. And so I started to feel this transition of, it was about in junior high, I started running. So cross country track, that's me in the blue, St. Joseph Panthers, hashtag Illinois Midwest represent. So Illinois track and field, I actually realized that I was a better runner than I was a musical theater actress. And so I started to see this shift of, okay, why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, it's because I'm good at things and I'm not that good at theater, so I will shift over to track. And then I started to wrestle with this whole thing of what happens when you're not good at what you do anymore. And so then I think our why kind of breaks down, right? Because our why is, we say, what is your why? We often look at the what rather than the why. I look at what I do rather than actually why I'm doing it. And so I began this journey of, I transitioned out of the world of musical theater and I came into the world of running because I was better at it, I guess. And it was my senior year of cross country. This is the Chrisman cow trip, okay? We literally run through a cow pasture and try not to step in poop. Welcome to the Midwest, okay? So you're running this cross country race through this cow pasture. And by this time, my race was about at 11 a.m. and it was about 110 degrees outside. I don't know whose idea it was to run a cross country race when it was that hot, but we still ran. And basically, I finished the race but had severe heat exhaustion. And my rest of my season, we didn't really recognize at the time, but my races were compromised. I was not running like I used to be. And then the culmination of my season, the state cross country meet, I was about 15 feet from the finish line, and I gracefully fell from exhaustion on record pace, but could not get back up, and would get up, and would stumble, and get back up, and then would stumble, and I'm waving off officials like, don't touch me, because you'll disqualify me, and stumbling across this line. And so coming to a place in my own heart of, okay, what happens? Why am I doing this if I'm not good at it anymore? And so the question that I kind of want to pose to you guys today is, will your why transcend your what? And so I had the option to either press into what I was doing and say, okay, why I'm doing this is more than just because I'm good at it, but it's actually because blank. Why am I doing this? And so I began this process, and even through my time at EMU, I came and I ran cross country, but guys, my seasons were not pretty. It was the same thing where I would get halfway through races and I would lose a lot of feeling, like in my arms and my face, and we couldn't figure out what was going on, and I had to decide, do I still want to do this? Why am I doing this? And there was a shift in my heart that happened that said, it's not because I'm good at this, but because God is good, and I trust him in it. And so I had to release my own inhibitions and say, okay, God, I trust you in this because I know that there is no good thing apart from you. In Psalms, it says that, and also in John 15, it says, you know, apart from me, you will do no good thing. And so coming to this point in my own faith and my own purpose and my own life to say, I'm still going to do this, not because I'm good or because I have anything good to offer, but because God is good and I trust him. And so I came to this place this week as I was thinking about this in Ecclesiastes. And so some of you may know Solomon, who's really wise, really rich, had everything that he ever would want. And so it says, I apply my mind to the study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind. Wow, that's really encouraging, isn't it? Everything you're doing is meaningless. And so, but what caught my attention was this last phrase that says, a chasing after the wind. And I think in that stage of life where I was pursuing my goodness and my own pursuits, it was very much, I'm chasing the next best thing. I don't know if anybody ever feels like this. And there's like a famous, like Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl and he's like, I just wonder if there's anything more. You know, this restless pursuit of what we want to feel satisfied. It's this chasing after the wind. And so the shift that's happening from I am good to God is good, I was then brought to this verse, and John, that says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And I'm like, wow, the wind. This word wind in Greek is actually the same as spirit. And thinking about, what if I am chasing the wind, but it's not in vain anymore? When I believe that I am good and I'm pursuing my own greatness, it is meaningless. But when I shift to pursuing the Spirit of God and the wind that He breathes behind my back, whether that I feel like I'm running at the headwind, it's actually this reckless, like, beautiful pursuit of what God has for me. And in that, I saw God completely transform my life, transform my purpose, and really give me a lot more meaning and excitement to what I was doing. And so I think that's what makes me think of John 10, where it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life abundantly. It's the shift from meaninglessness, where Satan is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, to actually, in faith in Jesus, you have this abundance and this mentality to look at the world and see things through His eyes, where I'm listening, I'm pursuing, and it's no longer about me, but it's how can I serve others and bring glory to God, like Luke had said. And so one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 30:21. It's probably like my life verse, but I don't have a verse, but it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, you'll hear a voice saying, this is my way, walk in it. And this is the way that I want to live. I want to be able to be walking, and I want God to say, Jaylee, this way. Jaylee, this way. You know, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to know what's at the end, but I trust Him enough, and I believe that He's good to at least walk on the next step. Kind of like when you're a kid and you play that game with, like, the hula hoops and the lava, and you just need to take the one from behind you and put it in front of you and jump in that way. And so just being able to walk in this rhythm of trust and believing that God is good. And so I asked myself, okay, then what is my why? And so really for me, I think it's, I believe that God is good. And not only did He save me, but He saves me every day. And therefore, I want to share that with others. One of my favorite verses, oh, I have a lot of favorite verses, I'm sorry, say that. But it's in Psalm 34, and it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know if I have it up here. Yeah, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. And it makes me think about, I don't know if you guys are sharers, but, like, if I have a piece of really good cake, I, like, want somebody to try it because I want them to, like, taste how good it is. Like, no, guys, like, taste this ice cream. Like, go to Klein's and taste, like, the peanut butter cookie dough ice cream. You know what I mean? And so, like, I want them to try it, and I'm kind of offended if they don't because I want them to, like, share in my joy. Or maybe you're one of those people who's like, no, I want to eat it all. I don't know. But so all that to say is that when we taste and see that the Lord is good, like, there's this natural desire to want to bring others into it. And I think that's the rhythm that characterizes my life, as well as, like, I was thinking about this. And when you'd have, does anybody like Brussels sprouts? Like, honestly, like, I actually really like them. But when I know, or, like, just vegetables in general, like, I hate vegetables, but it's like they're not prepared right. So, like, when you have vegetables, like a really bad green bean with, like, no salt and pepper on it, but then you have, like, a really good, or said baked bean, green bean, maybe I said baked bean, green bean, and then it, like, has all the seasoning, and it's delicious. Or if you have Brussels sprouts, but then you have Brussels sprouts with bacon, it changes everything, right? So why would you go back to plain Brussels sprouts when you could have Brussels sprouts with bacon, right? Or, like, I hate it for the vegetarians, but, like, why would you just eat hot dogs when, like, you have steak? You know, like, you don't even know what you're missing. And that's how I feel, like, life before my life with Jesus was like, oh yeah, this is good. I'll, like, stomach these nasty Brussels sprouts. Like, but if I have Brussels sprouts with bacon, like, now we're cooking, you know? And therefore, I want other people to engage in that. And I can't go back to my old way of living because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And I want to rest in His refuge because it's so much sweeter than the place that I had previously created. And what's really confusing about this is, like, this verse to me sums it up, but it says that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us, it's being saved is the power of God. And it talks about wisdom, and it talks about that intelligence. And I think that when I talk about sometimes my life with God, people are like, that's really great, especially if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., not a lot of Christians there, you know? And so I'm talking about my faith, and even at George Washington, FCA there looks very different than it looks here. I would say that 80% of our kids have never been to church, they've never read the Bible before, and so we're talking about this stuff, and they're like, you sound crazy. Like, last night we had our first huddle of the year, and we read Romans 12:1. It says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. We're doing what? Like, and for us as Christians that have grown up in Christian homes, that makes sense. But we have to reframe and think about, okay, the cross is foolishness to those who don't know it. But to me, who knows it, it's actually the saving grace and the power of God. And that's kind of like the rhythm and the wind that I feel like I'm chasing. And so, like, I didn't know what Mennonites were before I came to EMU. Like, my advisor sat me down and was like, Jolie, do you know what a Mennonite is? And I was like, no, tell me. And so how I ended up at EMU, I'm still not really sure, but it's a product of me chasing the wind and knowing that it changed the trajectory of my life. And knowing that going to the Middle East was one of the most transformative things I've ever done. And that's how I ended up in DC. And knowing that God is faithful because I listen in the moment, and then knowing that he's going to accomplish the next step that's required. Another thing is, how did I end up on staff with FCA? Well, so in college, I was helping with FCA here. I led it. I had an offer, and Jason will tell you, they tried to get me to come on staff here or in Illinois or in Maryland, and I was just like, I'm not about it. You know, you have to raise all of your own support. So all of your salary and your ministry expenses, you are in high schools and colleges, and I was just like, I have a job offer, I'm good. But last May, God really grabbed hold of my heart, and he's like, Jolie, you're made for this. And so I started to walk through this process. And guys, just every piece of the way God just provided. And I ended up quitting my job early than I expected. And I went to India for 2 weeks. My grandma passed away while I was there. I spent a month and a half raising support. And then I was on staff full time with FCA in January at George Washington, where there was no FCA that had existed before. We launched February 5th and had 30 kids show up at our door. And so I just feel like this is my kids. I'm so proud of them. But so that's our FCA huddle. But just seeing that God is so faithful and that he's prepared each step for you when you're walking in step with him. And I love, like, people are like, well, being a Christian's really boring. And I always say, then you're not doing it right, because following Jesus is one of the most exciting things that I've ever done, because I get to listen every day and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to pursue it? And let's go. I was at the grocery store a couple months ago, and God put this story on my mind. But I was at Aldi's, and is there Aldi in Harrisonburg now? Oh, just opened today. Oh. I love Aldi, but life hack, there's never enough lines open, so make sure you have a lot of time. That's how they save money, is they don't hire a lot of cashiers, and so you wait in line for a long time. But anyway, so I was waiting in line for a really long time at Aldi, and this woman, I just felt like God was impressing on my heart that you need to pay for the person's groceries to in front of you. Like, God, that's obnoxious. Like, I'm not gonna skip the woman in front of me and just pay for the person, like, two in front of me. That would be rude. So therefore I should pay for both people, but I don't really want to pay for both people. That's a lot of money. And so I'm like having this conversation, and I don't know, this is my life. And then I'm like, okay, God, like, I'm just not gonna do it. It's fine, like, it's not clear or whatever. The line opens next to me. That's a Christmas miracle at Aldi's, okay? I'm just saying. And they open another line, and the woman in front of me goes to the next line. And I'm like, okay. So then I pay for her groceries in front of me. And so all that to say, though, is that she asked me why. Why did I do this? And the only thing I can say is because I've been blessed, and I want to bless you, and God is good. And, I mean, that's, so we have to be ready for our wives, as in Colossians, to be ready to give an answer to the hope that's within you. And when we know what drives us, when we know what we're built on, then we have this greater expression to live out of the spirit that God has put in us. And it's no longer then defined by what you do. Like, you can do anything. That's what's beautiful, is that I'm no longer a competitive runner, praise God. But I can do anything and know that it's still built on the same why of, it's because God is good and he saves me every day, and I want to share that with others. And so I have just some application. Ooh, I'm like running close. Okay, last little thing. There's just three little nuggets of, like, how do I live a life of chasing the Spirit? And maybe you're like, Jolie, this sounds really great, but that sounds dumb. And I'm like, okay, well, if you press into these things for even a couple weeks, I promise that you will see work happen in your life. But the first thing is to know God's love and grace for yourself. I feel like I had a very short tolerance with others, and I struggled to give grace to others. Like, does anybody get really upset when somebody messes up and you're just like, ew, idiot, you know? And but then I realized I do that to myself all the time. And so we can't give grace and love to others if we don't first receive it for ourselves. And so that was a conviction that I had to sit in, was you can't give what you don't have. So you have to live in the love of Christ in order to actually give the love and grace of Christ. The second is to know that God is righteous and you don't have to be right. I'm saying that to myself right now, okay? Like, I like to be right. I struggle with pride. And so to be able to humble myself and say, okay, this is not about me being right, but it's because God is righteous and I trust you, and submitting yourself to that every day. And then the last one is to know God's voice. So this is a new kind of knowledge, all of these things that we're knowing. But in John 10, it says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. When I was little, my mom, well, she still has this whistle. She, like, double finger whistle, like, so loud. Like, she was known in the neighborhood for it. And my brother and I would, like, come running home when we heard this whistle. But the reason that we knew the whistle is because we knew my mom, and we knew we had a relationship with her, right? We spent time with her, and she told us that when you hear the whistle, you come home. But so all that to say is that we know God's voice because we spend time with him in his word and community with others. We're pressing into what he's saying. So when he does call, we know that it's him and not just our own desires, our own conscience, but it's this continual process of sanctification and asking what he wants from us. And so Jesus breaks the bonds that chain you to your what and frees you into your why. So I'll say it again. It breaks the bonds that chain you to your what. So you're no longer defined by what you do. I'm no longer a theater kid or a runner or just an FCA staff person, but I'm a child of God, like we say, that can run the race without it being meaningless. I can have meaning, and chasing the wind can be a thing of joy. So I'll close with that and invite Brian up.
So we want to give the chance to respond to what you've heard, and we're going to pull up a screen here that has the Mentimeter website and the code. So in the meantime, you can get your phones or your tablets out or your whatever you've got and go to menti.com, M-E-N-T-I.com. That's how I say it, at least. I think this screen's coming up here soon. And even if it's not, there it is, and you've got the code for this survey. It's two questions. One, you're going to get there in a minute. What's the first thing that comes to mind when asked, what's your why? You can enter only one word, maybe more than one word if you don't leave any spaces. What's the first thing that comes to mind? And in a minute, it should be forming a word cloud that's going to be on the screen if things work right. It's kind of our first time trying it in Lehman Auditorium. And Lehman's a little old, you know, so we're doing our best. Purpose, service. Help me read them, Jolie.
Teach, calling the ruins to fresh. Joy, healing, guide, community, grace, success.
Up here in a minute.
Purpose is a big one. Yeah. Justice, vocation, family, freedom in Jesus, values.
I think if you hit, Maxon, if you hit present in the upper right hand corner, I think it'll go large screen. There we go.
Peace, I don't know. Good one. Others, shalom.
Move on to the next screen and you can ask Jolie a question. These are not going to come up on the screen behind us, but they will come up on the screen in the laptop. Something that she said, something that got you thinking, a question, a statement, and we'll see what comes. And the word cloud can stay up there on the screen, but yeah, let's see. There's one.
This is a good question. It says, do you want me to read? Yeah. What tools do you use to help limit life's distractions from silencing God's voice? I think social media for me has been a huge distraction. And so I don't know if that resonates with anybody else, but I know putting away my phone and setting Sabbath, so I don't use any social media on Sundays at all, just as a discipline for myself, but also just creating space for God to like move, or like when I'm walking. Like, I live in the city, right? And so everyone has their headphones in all the time, and they're zoning. There's a time and a place for that, but for me, if I'm going to listen to God's voice, I'm just going to bike through the city, I'm going to walk through the city, and I'm going to say, okay, God, what do you want to show me right now? And reading his word. Like, before I do anything for the day, I get up, put my phone away, and I read the word and pray.
So several coming in. I'm going to read a few of these. ways. How do you recommend getting to know God better? And you can jump on whichever one. Tell us about your book, Julie. If I'm bored with Christianity, how can I change that?
That's a good one. Ask God. I'm just kidding. No, I think that if you're bored with, I think one important thing is like having like-minded or people that are encouraging around you. Like I have a core group of people that are encouraging me, asking what God is teaching me, how I'm growing, and I'm asking them those same things. I think that's a huge question. It's like even every day you can ask God, what did you teach me this today? And like see everything as a way for God to sanctify you and refine you. And there was another part. I'm like reading these questions as you're scrolling through them. Sorry. What was the question?
I moved on.
Oh, shoot. I forgot what
I was
saying.
Tell us about your book.
Oh, tell me about me. Okay, so when I was in high school, I started writing this book, and basically the heart behind it is, if anybody knows athletes or runners, they're really disciplined, right? Like, I can get up 2 hours early and do a long run, but getting up 5 minutes early to read my Bible is a struggle, you know? And it's like, that's terrible because that holds eternal weight, and like my running will last me a few more years. Nah, I got more years than that. But all that to say is that I started to see these parallels that the running community looked more like the church than the church does now. That they were eating together, they were sharing life together, they were in community together. And that's you. Sorry, I'm so ADHD. I just wrote these parallels and they're metaphors. There are 100 devotionals that say, you know, this is how it looks to be a runner. What if we kind of put this into practice with our faith? Like, if I was as disciplined of a cross-country runner as I was a Christian, my life would look really different. And so that's kind of published it. Actually, while I was in the Middle East, I submitted a transcript my sophomore year and then submitted my junior year when I was at EMU. So you can get it on Amazon. Just search my name. That's how you get it. That was a question.
Let's thank Julie once again. Thank you. So one of the connecting pieces here is FCA, and we are really pleased to have Brittany and Justin to share with us a bit about FCA here at EMU, and then they're going to move right into campus announcements. We've asked them to look at the EMU events calendar and choose 5 events or around that number that they want to encourage you to engage in, participate in, and then tell us for one of them why it matters to them. And then after that, a couple other people will come up and make their own announcement.
Good morning. I'm Brittany Bottens, senior softball player, and I am the chapter leader for FCA this year.
My name is Justin Odom. I'm a representative of FCA. I'm a junior, and my sport is track and field.
So the slide behind us is kind of explaining what we have going on for Fellowship of Christian Athletes this year. Huddle is pretty self-explanatory, but it's kind of like a Bible study. So we get together once a week. Who likes free food? Raise your hand. Yeah, we're college kids and we're broke, so free food's awesome. Who likes to be with like-minded people? Yeah, I think we can all agree that we like to be with people that think the same thing as us. So you don't have to be an athlete here. You don't have to be an athlete at all, ever, in your life. But if you like to talk about things that stress you out or can make you anxious, or if you're tired, or if something went wrong in class for the week, you can come and talk about that, because that's real-life things that we talk about during huddle, and just how to navigate those different things.
I'm just going to give you like a short intro to, if you are an athlete and you want to be involved in something, we believe in being bold. We believe in being courageous. We believe in unity and teamwork. So if that's what you want and you're an athlete, come speak to any one of us and we can connect you more. And every last Monday at 9 o'clock, we have Athlete Speak, where athletes or coaches come out and they just give you their testimony, and it's powerful. We also have free pizza, free food, free food, free food. Come, come, come.
So on the slide, sorry, I'm not as tall as Justin. So on the slide, you'll see a picture of some kids. We both worked at camp this summer. If you guys want to learn more about what FCA does in the summer, you can read the article that just got posted about the work that I did with FCA this summer, or you can come talk to one of us. But the picture on the slide is doing a crosswalk. So at camp, you take notes on a huge plank of wood, and you carry it around all week, which is kind of obnoxious sometimes. But you carry it around and you write these notes, and then on the Sunday before you go home, you like put it on your back, kind of like God carried the cross, and it's super symbolic and just reminds you of the sacrifice that God did for you. So if you guys want to learn more about FCA, come talk to either one of us or somebody that's with FCA. We're super excited for the year, and we have a lot of things that are going to happen and a lot of activities, and so if you just want to be with free food and like-minded people, come join us.
We're going to transition to campus announcements. So tonight we have girls volleyball, plays at home, 7 p.m. against Gallaudet. And Thursday we have clubs and orgs ice cream social at 7:30 in Campus Center. So if you feel like you don't have a home, this is a place to find out where you can be connected with the EMU community. And Friday we have the MSS BSU cookout at Thomas Plaza from 5 to 7. Then we have a laser tag right after that. And food, fun, music, dancing, community, and getting your grub on. And grub, in translation, means eaten to complete satisfaction or overly satisfied. So if you want some food, come and grub with us on Friday at the cookout at Thomas Plaza, 5 to 7. Saturday, we have field hockey's girls, 3 p.m., bonfire on the hill at 8 p.m. We have celebration at 9 p.m. If you want to get your praise on, if you want to praise, you know, praise. Stop. Led by the students for students. So kickstart your week, which is helping me also, is just it gives you like a fresh start for a Sunday night to go hit the week and just be motivated and confident in your classes, academics, athletics, whatever you looking forward to do. And then we have Tuesdays. Next Tuesday is it's personal, investigating our whiteness, and that's. And we have a few announcements after this. So that's it.
Good morning, everyone. My name is David Berry. I'm a professor in the music department here. I just wanted to let you know about something that we're super excited about offering to you. Many of you know about some of the ensembles we have, choirs, orchestra, jazz band, those kinds of things. But I want to let you know about some other things that we do in the music department and want to share with you and sort of engage with. We're offering free lessons. It's not something we're just going to do one time. It's sort of through the year, so anytime you get the inkling, email us. In a few different areas that may not be in your course catalog or on a syllabus. So if you're interested in something like songwriting, you want to improve your skills in that area, compete with Taylor Swift or somebody like that, we can give you a couple tips. I don't know if we can get you all the way to that level, but we'll get you halfway, something like that. Songwriting, composition, music technology. I think Justin said if you want to get your grub on, you can go to Friday night's barbecue if you want to get your beats on. Can I say that in chapel? You can email us and let us know, and we can help you sort of get into some music technology software and learn how to make your own grooves and things like that, or some tips to add in layers and improve them. If you're interested in improvisation, any style or any instrument, I'd be glad to help you with that. If you're just interested in jamming, no strings attached, email me. We'll set up a jam session, whatever style you like. We just really want to engage with you in music in whatever way suits you best in whatever areas you're interested in. So please do email us. I left some flyers out on the back, but you can also just look either of us up, me, Ryan, James in the music department, and hit us up. Looking forward to it.
Hi, I'm Liz Moren. I'm involved in the theater department, or theater major. And there are auditions that are happening. If you weren't able to go to auditions or you were not aware the auditions were happening, There is still an opportunity for you to audition, and if you're living under a rock or just was not aware at all. So if you can contact Justin Poole at justinpoole.emu.edu, Poole with an E. There are still some opportunities to be involved on stage or off stage. So our play is Measure for Measure, Shakespeare's Measure for Measure. So please, if you are interested, involved.
And finally, Maxson, would you click on Find a Church Day Lunch? It's on September 5. Tomorrow is Find a Church Day. Campus Ministries has invited church representatives from many different denominations and area congregations to be here in the West Dining Room for lunch tomorrow, and also in the upper lounge area in the Campus Center for the Ice Cream Social. Y'all have to go there yourselves and click on it and see what churches are coming. Go in peace and love and grace. What's your why?